Hi, my name is Jeff Redding. I'm a preaching elder here at Walton Community Church in Monroe, Georgia. Before we begin the sermon, our church would like to invite you to join us as we gather every Sunday morning for worship at 10 a.m. You can learn more about our church on our website at waltoncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening.
Howdy, WCC. It's wonderful to see everybody this morning. I did want to say we do have a number of families that are sick, so be in prayer for them. There's just a lot of folks who are battling stuff. Some of it may be COVID, some of it just may be seasonal cold. But anyway, there's just a lot of folks who are sick. So y'all, we're just going to, you know, during this time, a very difficult time in our country, in our community, with sickness and politics and all this mess, we're just going to keep on pressing, keep on trusting in the Lord, keep on caring about one another, and we're just going to do the best we can and leave the results to the Lord. Well, this morning we are going to, let me kind of give you the schedule for the next probably, I don't know, month and a half. I've had a change in my work schedule, so what I'm going to do is preach 2 weeks today. We're going to start a little series on depression. I preached a series on this a couple of years ago. I think in the email I said a couple of weeks ago, but a couple of years ago I preached a sermon series on depression. And I've just sensed I need this for myself, and I've heard from a number of people that that they need this. So we're going to do that. I'm going to preach for 2 weeks, the plan is, and then Daniel's going to preach for 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm going to pick up and probably preach another 2 weeks and finish out the series on depression. Then at some point in the spring, and I mentioned this again in the email, I plan on preaching a little series on just Christianity and culture. And just I don't want us to be discouraged, but I want us to be prepared for kind of what it looks like the culture is doing, and just some thoughts about just this, what is happening in the world, so we can be prepared. And I'll tell you, the bottom line is this. It's nothing complicated. The bottom line is for us to press more into Jesus Christ, to be more committed to Him, and to be committed to each other. Honestly, the church, I think the church, especially small local churches that really care about each other, I think we're going to thrive through anything, okay? So that's my goal and my hope for us, just as I said. So that's kind of the plan in the future. So again, this morning, this is going to be a little series on depression and anxiety. This is a personal thing for me. I probably wouldn't be classified with severe depression, but I've had bouts of just kind of probably moderate depression and anxiety. So one of the things that I want to stress from the get-go is this is very important, is that depression can be a normal part of the Christian life. Depression, anxiety, panic attacks, those things can be a normal part of the Christian life. And I think for a Christian who's depressed, simply understanding that other people around them also experience depression, I think just knowing that can be a tremendous encouragement. So if you're depressed, you're not alone. This is very common. It can be a normal part of the Christian life. This morning, my plan is this. I'm going to do a little introduction, and then I'll have three parts to the sermon. Basically, what is depression? Why study depression? And then a beginning of an action plan for getting better. Okay? So an introduction. Let me just give you some of my thoughts on depression so you can see where I'm coming from. One, depression involves the whole person, just all of who we are. There is a physical part. There's obviously a mental part, and I think there's a spiritual part too. And the difficulty about the physical, mental, spiritual is all these things are interacting with one another. So it can be very complex when we think about depression. Let's talk about the spiritual part first. This is a fact, and this is just simply the case. Depression can be caused by sin. It can be. Depression can be caused by sin, but not necessarily. So depression, just like any other difficulty that we go through, can be the result of sin. But what we see in the scriptures and what we see in our own lives is that often Christians who suffer from depression, it's not the result of sin, okay? So there's a spiritual aspect of it, and we'll talk about this more in the future. But depression also has a physical part, and I'll touch on that today as well. Our bodies, because of the fall of Adam, our bodies, along with all of creation, are just not what they're supposed to be. Our bodies are broken. They're affected by sin. They're affected by the fall, and that includes our brains. So this is a fact. A person who has depression, their brain chemistry looks different from a person who does not have depression. So there's this physical part of it. That's why I'm convinced that medication can be helpful for a person who has depression. Now, I think the medical community is overprescribed, honestly. But I don't want to go to the other extreme and say that medication is never necessary. Because as I said, the brain chemistry of a person who's depressed just simply looks different. It's simply a fact, all right? So there's this physical cause of depression. We'll talk about some other things as we go forward, but that's just a little introduction that give you my thoughts on kind of depression. So let's talk about what is depression. What is depression? Depression, the definition. If you think about the word depress, it means to push down. Like if you depress a button, you're pushing something down. So depression simply means feeling down. Feeling down. For most of us, we all have periods where we go through times where we feel down. We just don't feel good. Most of the time, though, we bounce back up. So we feel down for a time, and then we start feeling better. When you go through depression, though, you feel down and you don't bounce back up. You think you're going to get better and you don't. And it sometimes can get worse and worse. And you just feel very low about it. So I've gone through this. I imagine many of you have gone through it. Maybe you're going through this now. You just feel low. You're in a dark valley and you just think that you're not going to come out of it. Anxiety, I'll spend less time on anxiety, but anxiety often goes with depression. Anxiety is a sense of worry, and sometimes worry can be good, right? I mean, sometimes worry can cause us to take safety measures, but anxiety is worry that is excessive or inappropriate or unhelpful. So if I'm anxious, if I have this anxiety, I can have these worrying thoughts that I think about. I can have these racing thoughts. I can be fixated on something that I'm worried about. And what I'm doing basically with anxiety is I'm overestimating a problem out there. I'm overestimating some circumstances, and I'm underestimating my ability to handle it. Even for a Christian, we know that God helps us. We know God is with us, but we can still feel that this problem is simply too big for me. So that's anxiety. We're overestimating this problem when we're underestimating our help, even our help with the Lord, our ability to deal with these things. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 102. What I want us to do is quickly go through this passage, look at parts of Psalm 102, and look at some symptoms of depression. So we're talking about what is depression. We're going to look at some symptoms of depression. And in this Psalm 102, there are a number of other psalms, like Psalm 42. Very similar. And what I'm so thankful for is that the Lord gives us, this is His Word. The Psalms are the prayer book of the Bible. And what is awesome about our Lord is He understands. God doesn't come to us when we're down and say, "You need to cheer up. You're doing something terrible." God understands. And He even gives us His Word. The Psalms are the prayer book of the Bible. We can pray these back to God. And so the psalmist here in Psalm 102 and other places, the psalmist is God is doing us a wonderful, gracious favor by showing us what depression looks like. So God understands. God invites us to pray the Psalms back to Him. He understands and He cares, and we see that in Psalms like Psalm 102. So I'm going to go through some symptoms of depression. We're going to just briefly look at some passages, some little verses here in Psalm 102 talking about these symptoms. I'm going to go through these quickly because I don't want us to stay in here a long time. So number one is a symptom of depression is feeling a sense of sadness, a deep sense of sadness. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 102. The psalmist says, "My heart is struck down like grass and has withered. My heart is struck down." Remember, depressed is being down. My heart is struck down. We would say heartbroken, right? The core of who I am is down. I feel down. So this is a symptom of depression. Just symptoms of just being sad, being heartbroken, feeling down. Another symptom is crying or weeping or groaning, some sort of external just, you know, expression of this sense of sadness, crying, weeping, groaning. If you look at verse 5, the psalmist, he talks about my loud groaning. If you go down to verse 9, Look at the last part of verse 9. He says, I mingle tears with my drink. So he's just going about his ordinary day of eating and drinking, but even when he's just drinking, tears are mingling with his drink. He's saying that he's crying. He's groaning. So it's expressive. This bodily expression of crying is a symptom of depression. Another symptom is this. We feel, oftentimes Christians will feel far from God. We'll feel far from God. We may even feel that God hates us. It's untrue. I'll talk about that. But oftentimes we feel that God is far from us. If you look in 102, look at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 102. Look at verses 1 and 2. This is the beginning of the psalm. He's praying to God. He says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. And look what he says. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. So he's saying he feels that God is hiding his face while he is in this time of distress. He feels like God is hiding his face, turning his face away from him, far from him. If you go down to verse 10, look what he says. He's praying to God and he says, because of your indignation and anger, for you have taken me up and thrown me down. He feels like God is indignant. He feels like God is angry with him. And he feels like he has been thrown down. There it is. He feels like God is pushing him down. Again, this is this idea of being down, depressed. This is a very common feeling for Christians who are experiencing major depression. Oftentimes, we will feel that God is far from us. We may even wonder if God even exists. Is he even there? And we can even, Christians could even feel like God hates them. Again, this is not true, right? This is not true. In fact, I'll talk about this later on, how we need to speak truth to ourselves, God's truth. What? Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. So God's love, nothing can separate us from his love. It's always here. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He's always with us. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling within us. He loves us. But there are times when we can feel down. We can feel like he's far from us. And that's what the psalmist is expressing here. And again, I'm so thankful to the Lord that he gives us words like this. So he understands. He cares, even giving us these psalms. Another symptom is bodily pain. Bodily pain. If you look in verse 3 of Psalm 102, oftentimes the psalmist will say something like this. He says, my bones burn like a furnace. That's a poetic way of saying my bones inside me. It feels like this burning, this pain. Burns like a furnace within me, this bodily pain. Oftentimes people who are depressed experience things, just bodily pain. It can be deep muscle pain, fibromyalgia, chronic pain syndrome. I've learned that fibromyalgia, you know what that is? That's a fancy word of saying you have pain and we don't know why. That's basically what fibromyalgia is. But oftentimes people who are depressed can experience this bodily pain. Another symptom is disturbed sleep. Difficulty sleeping. Oftentimes people who are depressed have difficulty sleeping. They wake up in the middle of the night. Anybody have this? You wake up in the middle of the night, you have racing thoughts. It's 2 a.m., you're wide awake, and you're thinking about something, and you can't sleep. Look at verse 7, very, very simple. Look at the first part of verse 7. He says, I lie awake. He's laying in bed, and he's awake. He can't go to sleep. Many other psalms talk about this. Job talks about this. I turn in my bed and the night is long and all these things. A very common symptom of depression, disturbed sleep. Another one is this, feeling alone, feeling isolated, feeling like there's no one around you who understands. This psalm is beautiful. This is beautiful language here. Very sad, but incredibly beautiful language. Poetic language expressing being isolated and feeling alone. Look at verses 6 and 7. This is really beautiful poetry here. He says, I am like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste places. So picture an owl just out in the desert, just standing on a rock by itself. That's the way he feels. He says, I'm like this owl just all by itself, all alone. No one else around. That's the way he feels. Look at next one, verse 7, I lie awake. I am like a lonely sparrow on the housetop. Picture a housetop and a little sparrow by itself on top of that housetop, all by itself. That's the way the psalmist feels when he's depressed. He's sad. He feels alone. Again, this is beautiful poetry, but incredibly sad. But a common symptom of depression is feeling alone, isolated. Another one, there are many others, but the last one I'm going to give you, it's not in this psalm, but is anger, especially for men. And I want you to know that. Oftentimes, guys, when we get depressed, we express it not in real sadness, but just anger, just rage, irritability. This is from Jonah. You don't have to turn this. This is Jonah 4:9. God is talking to Jonah, and God said to Jonah, "Jonah, do you do well to be angry?" Jonah's very angry. He's depressed. He says, "Do you do well to be angry?" And you know what Jonah says? He says, "Yes, God, I do well to be angry." Yeah, I do well to be angry. And listen to this. He says, "Angry enough to die." Angry enough to die. He's depressed, but it's expressed in anger. And oftentimes, this is the way it is for guys. So we may not even know we're depressed. We're just furious all the time. And that can be a symptom of depression. So all these are symptoms. So you may think, I'm not really sad, but I feel isolated. I've got body pain. I'm angry. Those can be symptoms of depression. All right, so that's number one, symptoms of depression. What is depression? Part two, just very quickly, why study depression? Essentially, it's this. Depression is just a huge problem in our culture. In our culture today, it's just a huge problem. It's been called the common cold of mental problems today because it's just so common. So many people suffer from depression. That's why we need to understand it and we need to study it as Christians. Huge numbers of people study it. I'll just give you briefly, this is even young people. There was a study of college students, huge study. It said nearly 40% of them, almost half, said that they had been so depressed within the last 12 months that it was difficult for them to function. Almost half. 60% of those college students said that they felt overwhelming anxiety in that same period of time. Okay? So this is a very, very common problem. Even those who love the Lord can go through periods of severe depression. I'll give you some figures in the Bible. These are heroes of the faith. Now listen to this. Elijah was so sad he wanted to die. Jonah, same way. We saw that. Jonah said he wanted to die. Moses said he wanted to die. He said, "God, just kill me," in Exodus 32. These are the greatest heroes of the faith, and they've gone through these times of being low. Job, David, Jeremiah. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. Okay? All these guys have gone through this. Even our own Lord Jesus. Isaiah 53 says that Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So don't tell me that to be a Christian means you're happy, happy, happy all the time, right? That is not what it is. If all these heroes of the faith, including our Lord Jesus, experience sorrow and being down, it's okay. It's a normal part of being a human being, living in this world. In church history, these giants of the faith, Martin Luther, John Bunyan, the missionary Hudson Taylor, all experienced severe depression. Charles Spurgeon experienced depression, anxiety, panic attacks, some so bad that he was just debilitated for extended periods of time. Both Hudson Taylor and Charles Spurgeon, their friends at various times had to put them on suicide watch because they thought they were going to take their own lives. Okay? Now, we want to get better. We don't want to just stay in that. But what I'm telling you is that even these heroes of the faith who love the Lord Jesus, who gave their lives to serve him, have gone through times of severe depression. Okay? So don't think that you're a freak. Don't think that you're being unfaithful. Don't think that God hates you or anything like that if you're going through times like that. All right? And that's why we're studying. All right, the last part is getting better, an action plan. This is just a beginning. In future weeks, I'm going to talk about kind of mental things we go through. But let me just say this. So this is the beginning, the one in an action plan on getting better is this. Don't assume that you know the cause of your depression. Don't assume that you know the cause of your depression or anxiety. It's complicated, but this is a very great danger. Here's the problem. We almost always believe that our circumstances are the cause of our depression. We naturally like making connections. So here's what we do. If I feel down, then I think there has to be a reason for it. And what we almost always do is look around at our circumstances. Why am I feeling down? Guess what? You can always find circumstances in your life to cause you to be down or to cause you to be anxious. You can always find them. But if you think about it, there have been many times in your life, probably, that you've dealt with something like this before, similar circumstances, and you haven't been this depressed. So don't assume. We often want to go to circumstances. And then what happens is we think that it's the outside circumstances causing us to be down. Then we fixate on those circumstances and we keep rolling the tape in our mind about these circumstances when it may not be that. It could be, for example, it could be that we're depressed primarily. There's a lot of factors. It could be that we're depressed because we're not getting enough sleep. Or we're not exercising at all. That could be the primary problem. But we don't like to think that. We like to think it's circumstances. Okay? So it's a great danger in doing this. All right? There have been many times in my life when I've dealt with certain circumstances, sometimes even worse, and I haven't felt as down as I do now when I'm dealing with these similar circumstances. But again, I want to blame the circumstances. You understand what I'm saying? Now, there can be times. There can be times when we go through a death of a loved one, for example. You're going to be down for an extended period of time. Maybe years you'll go through it, right? So circumstances can cause it. But what I'm saying is oftentimes we just automatically assume that my job or finances or spouse or kids or what's going on in the world or whatever, we assume that that's the problem when it may not be the primary problem, okay? So don't assume that you know the cause. All right. Number two, this is very simple, but just engage in helpful behaviors. Don't fall into the trap of engaging in destructive behaviors. And you can do this, all right? I would just briefly say this for us as believers, keep coming to church. Keep coming to church. This is a fact. People who are involved in church and stay involved in the church do much better and they recover much quicker than people who are not involved in a church. There's just something about us gathering together as a church family where God blesses us and people just recover quicker when they are involved in the church. I've said this many times. God has gifts that he wants to give us when we gather as a family on Sunday morning. He has gifts that he wants to give us. So come to church. Now, listen, I know with COVID it's very difficult. Even now we have people who are very concerned, and rightly so, for what's going on about coming to church. But I would just encourage you, if you're able to be here every Sunday morning, do that, because that will help you with this. Don't isolate yourself. There's a tendency for depressed people to isolate themselves. Don't stay indoors all the time. Don't look at screens all the time. These are all symptoms. Don't stay in bed all day long. Stay in a good routine. These are all things that we can do. Another way, and I've kind of touched on it already, is to take care of your body. God has made us physical creatures to take care of our bodies. Eat well, exercise, get lots of sleep. I'll say this about exercise. I just had kind of a cold. I wasn't feeling good for a few weeks. As a result, I didn't exercise. I didn't put a connection until actually I was preparing the sermon. I wasn't exercising much, and I started getting down and lower and lower. And my goal is, and I would encourage you to do this too, my goal is to exercise, to get your heart rate up, to get my heart rate up at least 15, 20 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. I lift weights, I get on a treadmill, whatever. Obviously, you know, do the cheesy disclaimer, talk to your doctor, you know, before you get in an exercise program or whatever. But I would encourage you to do that. God has given us bodies. He wants to take care of us. So I would strongly encourage you, get your heart rate up at least 15, 20 minutes every single day and watch what happens. Just try it for 2 weeks and watch what happens. Okay? Just watch and see if you don't feel better. Also, this is so important. I won't have time to stress it enough, but sleep. Get lots of sleep. Psalm 127:2 says that sleep is a gift from God. Sleep is a gift from God. Let's receive that gift. People today, on average, get 2.5 hours less sleep than they did 100 years ago. People just are not sleeping much nowadays, and I think that's one of the results of we have this epidemic of depression in our culture. I've seen this more and more. A lack of good sleep is the number one indicator for depression. Number one, and there's really no close second, a lack of sleep. You show me someone who's depressed and anxious, and I bet you they're not getting a lot of good sleep. At the same time, you show me someone who is not getting a lot of good sleep, and I bet you that person is either already depressed and anxious or they're on their way to being depressed and anxious. Listen, as I said, sleep is a gift from God. If you get very little sleep, you're basically planning on being depressed and anxious. You get little sleep, you're planning on being depressed and anxious, all right? As we get older, I would encourage you to do research on this, but as we get older, things like melatonin levels drop. Do research. Melatonin has helped me. I'm not saying you to take this. I'm just saying to investigate it and think about it. If you still can't get sleep and you find you're not getting better, go to a sleep specialist. You may have sleep apnea. And what you'll find is if you could have sleep apnea, not good sleep, then you start getting depressed. Then you start feeling bodily pain. And it's this cycle. It gets worse and worse. So take this very seriously. As I said, sleep is a gift from God, and we need to receive that gift. And finally, I'm going to wrap up with this. Most important thing for us as followers of Jesus Christ, we are in Christ. Remember that there is always hope in Jesus Christ. That's not just a platitude. That is a fact. There is always hope in Jesus Christ. Don't despair. Do not despair. Listen, you're going to get better. You're going to get better. With Jesus Christ, the Christian never has the right to despair. There's always hope in Christ. Now, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I can't give you a sentence and then you feel better, right? I can't give you a Bible verse and then you're going to feel better. That's not the way it works. That's not the way that God's word is to be treated. God's word is not to be treated as like a pill to take, right? It's not going to happen immediately. But this is huge. You are going to get better if you get help and if you seek to apply the truths that we're talking about. Basically, everybody gets better within a few months when they start taking action to do so. Everybody. And almost everybody a huge chunk of people get better within just a few weeks of taking action. Okay? So there's always hope in Christ. Trust in Him. And I'll say this, and I'm going to wrap up with this. Trust that the Lord is going to help you, and one way you can do this is by speaking truth to yourself. By speaking truth to yourself. Memorizing Scripture. Commit to memorizing Bible verses. Every month we have either different Bible verse or catechism to memorize those things. I would encourage you to put them on a calendar every day. I'm going to say, whatever, Romans 8:28 to myself. I'm going to say this and speak this and believe this. This part of my day, I'm going to listen to this Bible verse and I'm going to say this to myself. Apply these things. This month, Heidelberg Catechism, question one, Daniel talked about it. This is one of the most helpful, one of the most beautiful statements of faith that has been written since the Bible has been out. Okay, for the church has produced this beautiful thing. What is your only comfort? My only comfort is I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, not to myself, but to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. I belong to Him. You put that, when that sinks into your soul, you're going to get better. That I belong to Him. Not a hair can fall from my head, right? Everything He does fits for His purpose for my salvation. So speak truth to yourself. Catechism, Bible verses, so important. Now I'm going to be real with you, okay? I'm going to be real with you. My experience with people who are depressed is that they will hear the things that I've talked about, and they won't do them. They just won't do them. Or they may do them for a little bit. Or they'll hear this sermon, that's entertaining, and then it'll go out of their minds. So don't do that. You can change. With God's help, you can change. You can take action. Again, don't assume that your circumstances are the primary cause of your depression. Don't assume that because what you'll find is the circumstances will get fixed, and you'll still be down, and then you say, oh, it's not, now it's this circumstance. It was that, and now it's this. And then that's fixed, oh, now it's this. It's always something. Why? Because the circumstances are not primarily your cause of depression. So I would encourage you, seek the Lord, memorize your Bible verses. Again, exercise, sleep, beg the Lord to help you change your life in this. Don't just continue doing what you're doing and just put this aside. I'm preaching this sermon series because I feel burdened by the Lord to try to help people through this. A lot of this is for me, okay? This has already helped me. A lot of this is for me, but I'm hopefully it'll be helpful for you as well. And already I've heard from people that they sense the Holy Spirit is personally ministering to them just from the timing of this sermon, just by us talking about it and thinking about it together as a church family. So listen, trust that the Lord cares about you. He cares about you. He will be with you. He will not abandon you. He wants to help you to get better. You're going to get better. Trust the Lord in that. Believe that Jesus Christ is going to work in you in a big way. You're going to get better. And through all this, He's going to get the glory, and we're going to get better. Okay? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. We do, Lord, pray that you would help us. God, I just, especially for myself, Lord, I confess that oftentimes I just kind of get away from seeking you and doing the things I should do. So for folks here, I know there are many here who are not depressed, they feel great, and they don't understand what's going on, but for folks who are down, Lord, we pray especially for them now that you'd help them. I know people who are going through difficult circumstances, and those may be causing them to be down. We pray for them, Lord, that through all these things, that we would trust in you more and love you more. And Jesus, we would remember that you died in our place. All that sin is gone, and you're coming back one day. You're going to make all things right. You've got good plans for us. So, Lord, help us just to trust in you more and to love you more and to really seek your face on helping us get over being down and just discouraged. So we praise you, Lord. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.